Yeah, if I may just refer to something regarding the forthcoming Freedom Park in Bridgetown, the whole NIS and the public service, the fire service building issue. First of all, a number of people have been talking about the Golden Square and referring to the statue of Clement Payne. As far as I know, it's a bus.
It's a bus, yeah.
That is seated on a pedestal, mm-hmm. and you have a monument. So there's no actual statue, like a full-length statue as there is of Busser, Grantley Adams, and Errol Barrow, and even Nelson, right? So that makes me realize then that I know the government had given an obligation that eventually all the national heroes will have their statues. So I expect that if there's a Freedom Park there, that there will be a statue of Clement Payne, as there has been for Grantley Adams, national hero, Errol Barrow, national hero, and Busser, national hero. So that's something that people have to start beginning to fix and factor into their thinking too. I'm sure I'd be surprised if that has not been incorporated into the design and layout of the whole project, which I certainly have not seen. And I don't know anybody who's seen a detailed outlook or visual artist representation of what it would look like. So I'm saying that just for the correctness of the record, there's no statue yet of Clement Payne, but there's a bust of Clement Payne. And in that regard, I'd like to commend you and your panelists last Sunday for an excellent program. Well put together. It was highly educational. It was very informative, and I want to thank the professionals who took part and who were prepared to speak, quite frankly and professionally, and they were not coaching their language for fear of any perceived, might not be about any perceived victimization or harassment or whatever, but they spoke from their professional briefs and training. I thought the country gained a lot from it. It's only a pity it couldn't have had come sooner. But now it's coming virtually after the fact. And then, you know, when the project seems to be signed, sealed, and delivered. And I want to, again, thank you and commend you for all that was done in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Glenn. I do want to pick you up on one point here. You said that the government has made a pledge to bring the statues of all the national heroes. Which government is this?
I'm glad you brought me back to that. Because after Busser was up, Grantley Adams was, and it was unveiled for the first National Heroes Day in 1998. Then we moved on to the Right Excellent Errol Barrow, and I remember we had a tussle that was delayed because there were some members of the Democrat Labour Party who felt that they don't want a BLP or BLP money. Even though it was taxed on me, to erect a statue of Errol Barrow, they were going to raise it themselves by fish fries and cokes and what.
Yeah,
it's probably taking a couple of years. It's feasible, but eventually good sense prevailed. I remember having to, I was the liaison person with that. And I remember I worked closely with the late Mr. Barrow's daughter, Leslie Barrow. And we eventually came to, they accepted the government's offer. Their only requirement would have been that they select the sculptor who created the statue. I think it was somebody from St. Lucia, and that was the only thing. And I think that should be the norm. Really, it's a national issue, a national statue, and the government felt, certainly Prime Minister Alfred felt that, because of that, the public should pay for their national symbols, and that was one in that regard. So I believe that policy, I know that was the policy, then I suspect the same thing will obtain. All right?
I got something stuck in my craw. I got Dennis Johnson looking at me because he knows that when I start behaving in this way, when he sees my body language, he knows that I got something that upsets me. You know, you made that point just now, but I remember very well the guy who was based. He was the Deputy High Commissioner in London at that time, under the DLP.
Owen
Eversley, he was trying to get this thing off the ground for building a statue for years, and it never happened. You know,
It's very expensive, you know.
It's very expensive. But the point I want to make here, and this is why I have so many difficulties on this program, in trying to get people to understand, people on both sides of the divide, to understand that this idea of my part, whatever my party do, is the thing. And, you know, they need to recognize that there are certain things that are supposed to be national, okay, that deal with the country first and foremost, like this garbage situation, okay? And it can't descend into all the partisanship, right?
Yeah.
And the thing about the statue for Mr. Barrow, I remember never, ever forget when it was going to be unveiled, how this large troop of individuals, I will want to say motley crew, this large troop of individuals led by David Thompson came down to claim the whole thing and made it into a partisan thing, which was, I found, see, and I told this to David, you know, I thought it was okay from a purely political spectacle. It was perfect. There's nothing wrong with that. But really and truly, there's some things that are above partisan politics. And the fact that Mr. Barrow did so much for this country means that it goes above and beyond, whether it's a BLP, a Solutions Barbados, or even a PDP that does something for him. And, you know, and we really need to get above this. And this is why... I got this sort of box in now, so let me just keep on that. I know I can leave you points. Don't worry.
Okay.
This is why... I think you would remember I have been calling for some time that there should be no Errol Barrow Day and there should be no National Heroes Day and on the birthdays of these individuals. Errol Barrow is obviously for Mr. Barrow, and the National Heroes Day is normally on the birthday of Sir Granny Adams. There should be just one neutral day. Okay?
Yeah.
Because these things are above partisan, they should be above partisan politics. And I think when we are mature, when we move to that, it will show that we are coming to that level of maturity where we don't always see things by the colors of the party that we support. I'll step off my box and give you a chance.
I'd be supportive of a one neutral day for everybody concerned. I think that's a very healthy, and like you said, a mature democratic way to go, and it helps to erode this tribalism, this political tribalism, that's very often. But let me give you an example of the kind of maturity, political maturity we talk about. Now, there's a story that is not publicly known. It has to do with Prime Minister Arthur. When we got into government in 1994, there would have been staff at LR Court heard on the Democratic Labour Party, in the House, taking care of the grounds, etc. And I think there were 15 or 16 people. Now, the practice had been that when there's a change of administration, those people lose their jobs. And Prime Minister Arthur told me, I'm not into that. These people have done nothing wrong. Why should they lose their jobs because the people have exercised the democratic right to change the government? And I was tasked of making sure that those people, that there was an opposition period where you did say to those people you would like to keep, ask those who would like to stay, and then it was tasked to make sure that everybody who was employed was placed somewhere in government and a comparable job and salary, etc., so nobody lost their job because of change of government. Now, that is what I thought was magnificent political maturity. So I'm saying it's possible, but it has to be done at the individual level, for the small amount, not necessarily in a big project, but in people's daily lives, which is what, in politics, what is in it for me is the most thing in politics for any person.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that kind of maturity is something that we can emulate, and I would like to see become the norm. Not like the American system, where when there's a change of administration, everybody gets there. So virtually, you have to start all over again. Because you destroy the continuity, you destroy the institutional memory, you destroy, there being an esprit de corps. There are people can develop a tradition and practice and their own subculture of operating. Those things are not given a chance to go. But before I go, I would just like to say that where the National Insurance Building concerned, the Old Fire Service Building, Old Fire Service Headquarters, if I may make just a quick comment on the Forest Service headquarters building and also government headquarters, they were considered, or are considered, what called, and it was mentioned during the last Sunday's program where Mr. Phillips talked about low maintenance. They were low maintenance building because, in truth and effect, except for dust and noise, et cetera, or rain, in most parts of the government headquarters, there was no need to shut the windows. And sometimes when I was there, in some days, I would just leave the windows open because there was natural airflow, because they were functional. They were designed to cope with the climate, and there was not a lot of glass and steel. And therefore, that, and I think the fire service building, I've never heard about a walkout of fire service building headquarters for environmental problems, whatever. I'm saying, like Mr. Phillips, we need to take that into consideration when these buildings are designed. Or even in the new design, incorporate some of the features of the previous structure into the new design, so there's a continuity for future generations. But I would also like to end by saying that I would wish that, I understand there's an ideas forum in St. Lucie tonight where people have been asked to submit ideas as to the future development and transformation of Barbados. I just wish we had that before the rest of the erection and the demolition of the NAS building and the fire service headquarters, that there would have been a similar forum where the public would have been asked to give their view, give their ideas on that project, and we would have had, I'm sure we would have had a much better project, a much more nationally satisfying project, and I would like that also to become the norm in the future.
All right, sir. You nailed the point. All right, have a nice day. We got another call. Good morning. You're in the air.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. I wasn't calling about garbage, but hearing about garbage. I can't help saying about garbage. I feel it is a mindset of business. And I feel unless people are prosecuted, brought before the courts and fines, this thing isn't going to stop. Because, you know, it annoys me to see people with something 25 and 15 supermarket bags. And just bring them and toss them next to the road. Sometimes under what marks no garbage. I mean, that is unnecessary. I mean, something has to be done. These people need to be prosecuted. The law has to come down on these people. And unless that is done, don't care how you educate business, they are not going to stop. So the hammer needs to be come down.
Mm-hmm. All right. But you need to make, you don't have to make a comment on garbage. I just thought I would start that, get an update. But just to pick up what your point is, on Monday I was driving, and this is in Wildey, going up to just past CBC. No, just past. It actually took place right in front of the Water Authority. A truck, G's something. I have it written down somewhere because I made a note of it. The guy on the passenger side threw a bottle, a plastic bottle, a drink that he was obviously drinking or something, out onto the highway. Just like that. And I began to blow my horn. Of course, they ignored me. And then they turned and went up by the CDB. So on Monday, they were doing deliveries, a white panel van. And that's what I saw. But this is the sort of foolish acts that one continues to see on our roads daily. But 2 weeks ago, I was driving behind a ZR, and somebody threw something, like a napkin, just out of the window. You know, these are the sort of things that people keep doing, and that is why our streets keep looking the way that they look. And people need to understand that you should not do that. You should not do that because it basically is littering. And that is wrong.
And sometimes you see people walking with children, small children. Mm-hmm. The children just eat what they have. And I mean, and with parents. And mm-hmm. they throw the bottle, the cup, whatever, and they're with their parents. And I mean, the government needs to prosecute the parents, too. If they can't do it, they have to prosecute the parents. Get some police, even if they have to put some police on the road and prosecute these people. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And another thing is, people that live in areas where they have drains, you know, not the deep drains. You know, the drains that it can come out and get a broom.
Mm-hmm.
and just push down. Mm-hmm. Why not come out and get a broom and push down that drain and say, listen, it's a grain and grime and stuff like that. Don't wait on the government to do everything. Come out and clean the place. And if you're living in the area, I mean, they all live in the area's bush. But if you live in the area's bush and you can't pass, why not get some more people in the community and clear the path where you have to pass? You mean the stand every day you are coming, I can't pass. The garbage are not outstanding. I mean, garbage bags are not that expensive. You can get a pack of garbage bags, 10 in the bag, well, 3 or 4 something in the pack. And you could take those small supermarket bags. You could put them right down inside of that garbage bag and pack them up neat. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it won't look so disgraceful.
True.
I was watching a documentary and I saw some place overseas with garbage. You will not believe that those are garbage. I mean, this thing is packed up so neat. But we need to be prosecuted. We need to. And it will stop. I can assure it will stop. Mm.
Well, let's hope it doesn't have to come to that. But it may need to be done. Look, don't go away. Just hold on. We need to take a commercial break and we'll be right back.
Come on, play the damn thing.
Welcome back to Brass Axe. Thank you, Bryce, along with Dennis Johnson, sorry. And we're here until 2, and you're still on the air. You go right ahead. Yes.
My main point, I don't know if I can speak about it.
Of course you can. Go right ahead.
We're
talking everything. The garbage thing is just one thing that we're talking about. Go right ahead.
I saw on the back of the paper the attorney general said he would be digging into the corruption. I'm bringing in, some person to say about corruption. What I would like to see people bring in is about the crime in the country.
The what in the country?
The corruption.
No, you said something about is about the crime in the country or the.
Yes, but what I would like to see people mm-hmm. come in to see about the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was hearing last night news and the RNs, people are crying out for crime in that area. I want some people to.
They're crying out for the shooting.
The shootings, yes.
The shooting.
It's a crime, yes, and crime and all together. Why would it see if they can get a handle to bringing people to see about the crime? Because, I mean, corruption is not going to affect everybody. But crime is going to affect the whole country, tourists, all that sort of thing. So what I would like the government to do is dig into the crime. Mm-hmm. This crime, the shootings, and see where the guns are coming from, where everything is coming from, because that is going to bring the country to its knees. Because when all this crime is going on, the shootings and all that, the tourism, that will be affected. All that sort of thing will be affected. So I want the crime more to look into, more than the corruption. I mean, corruption needs to be looked into, too. But things that will impact the country more, that's what needs to be looked into.
Mm-hmm. Well, I disagree with you in terms of the corruption don't affect everybody. I think the corruption is a major problem because it's too extensive. And it is really one of those unseen things. You're doing something there that's coming right through to us here. Hello, are you still there? Hello. All right. The as I was saying, the corruption is something that would affect the entire country, and there is at different levels, and it goes as far as when you go to get something done. Some basic service that should be free, and the officer tells you, well, this can't happen because X, Y, and Z, and you will tell the person, well, you can't organize this thing here for me. I need it in a hurry. And pass the person even a little 20 or a little grantly, and it happens. That is corruption too. Okay, a lot of us may not see it as that, but that is corruption too. So it is. And so you can find that, and I'm not saying that this happens on a wide scale. I'm not saying that at all because I'm not trying to cast aspersions on anybody doing any normal service. But all I'm saying is that, and people can tell you that, that they would have gone to X or Y place and the thing would have taken long and the person helped them out and, they give them a little something for helping them out. And a lot of us don't see that as corruption, but it is, okay? So that's pretty extensive. In terms of bringing in people to deal specifically with the shootings and et cetera, quite frank, I am not 100% there either with you. Why? I think the Barbados, the Royal Barbados Police Force has been doing an excellent job. I really think so. And that is why I will sometimes always quarrel with some elements of the force who do not behave in a professional manner, because they bring the entire force down. Anytime you get a guy or a girl, a female officer, or who does not do what they're trained to do, and they behave in a manner that's untoward toward into the public, they really bring the force down. But to my mind, I think the Barbados Police Force, they got this, and I think they're trying their best. They're working.
Yeah, they are.
They're working really hard. But you cannot ignore the fact that guns have been flowing in here for some time. There are a lot of guns here. We know this because there are various reports over the last couple of years suggesting that there are guns here for, not suggesting, stating there are guns here for rent, for hire, and how much the rate is and that sort of thing. We carry stories like that in the nation. So we know that the guns have been here for a while now. Therefore, these guns are finding themselves in the hands of a lot of young fellas primarily who just shooting up the place. I related a story here that happened out by my, right in front of my house. New Year's Day, okay? New Year's morning, just minutes to three. You know, the shots firing. So these are things that are happening not only in the New Orleans. These are things happening in other communities as well. We only hear about the Orleans because those people have cried out, because Stetson and his team went down there to make sure, to ask people about the shootings and whatnot. But these things are happening all over Barbados. And it is frightening. I mean, we have the situation in Eden Lodge, you know. It is frightening. Those people are crying out too, because this is what is happening. And I agree with you. We need to deal with it because, and I'm not interested in the tourism aspect. I live here. The tourists got to come after me. Me and every other Bajan and Barbadian citizen. We come first. Tourists come after us. If everything is improved in this country for us, then it's better for them. So I'm interested in Bajans and Barbadian citizens. And therefore, we need to get this matter fixed up for us as a people. But the only way we can get this matter fixed up is if we see something, say something. We have got to talk. We cannot expect that some of these things are going on and then we don't say something about it. And, you know, how somebody else can know? If you see something happening in your area, let's say you live in Bromley, you see it happening, okay? You don't have to pick up your phone at home or your cell phone. Go to a public place, like let's say you were passing down by the court, or you're going to a government office, and you call from the government office and say, look, and you report the what you saw. This thing happened at Bromley, X and Y place at X and Y time. This is what I saw. Okay, so that if there's anything untoward, they could only trace it back, like it came from the NIS building, or it came from this place, or it came from that place. Nobody don't know who it is. It's anonymous. So, because you know, some people have that fear that it will not be anonymous. So that is what we as Barbadians need to do. We need to start calling, reporting things to the police, because when we do that, we know that at least we're making an effort ourselves to clean up our area and get rid of these thugs from off the place. And if we don't see anything after a while, you keep on calling, you keep on making people miserable. And then what you do is you contact us here at Brass Tacks. If you don't want to go in the area of voice, you contact the switchboard and you leave a note for one of the moderators who will read the message. That's what we do. We will put it out there that this person has been calling for X time. you know, and they still have not seen the police do anything about it. And this is what is supposed to be happening in that particular area. These are the sort of things that we have to do and start putting pressure on these guys for the foolishness that they're doing and for the fear that they're causing our elderly people in particular, not only the average person, but the elderly in particular in our society, people who are now in their houses and they feel like prisoners in their houses because of these young thugs and what they're doing. It ain't right. And we got to do something about it. All right? All right, we take another call. And thank you very much for calling and raising that issue because it's a very important issue. You're on the air? Good morning.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just want to make two quick points about Bridgetown.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes these different things that governments do should really be discussed at town hall meetings where they could get other views. And I'll give you one example. I used to work at the National Housing Corporation when they were putting up the what is now the London Bourne Towers. The name that was given was Carlisle Towers. And I was in a circle with the minister, the then minister, but he's minister again, and the chairman of the board. And I questioned why he celebrating the name of the Earl of Carlisle and not London Bourne, who had a property right at the corner of Wellington Street and Bay Street. I wouldn't say the other things that happened, but it finally, the name was changed. And I say the name was changed because the name was there already. The name was changed to the London Bourne Towers. But I born and raised in the city of Bridgetown. I come around Ribbett's Land. Ribbett's Land is that area where Nelson Street, Spruce Street, coming all around from Jim McStain, around Bear Street, and going back around River Road. And we come along, we hear about Golden Square. But the thing is, to name the Freedom Park Golden Square, I don't really understand it. Because the Freedom Park should be named after Clement Payne. After Clement Osborne Payne, it should be Clement Osborne Payne Freedom Park. And that is what it should be. And finally, I would say, and I would say again, when the Queen Victoria Bridge fell into a bad state of disrepair, it was replaced, and the name was changed, and it is called the National Hero. It was named after the National Hero. The name Queen Victoria didn't remain. But yet you have a situation where they refuse, government, several governments, BND, refused to change Joseph Chamberlain's name off of the bridge. And then that bridge came into a bad state of disrepair, which was the swing bridge. And they replaced it with the lift bridge. But the name seemed to remain, Joseph Chamberlain's name remained there. And rather than naming it after Colonel Wisdom Wickham, because Mr. the gentleman who the bridge named after, Duncan O'Neill, he had said that he would have gone back to Trinidad had not for Colonel Wickham, because Wickham was the editor of the Herald at the time, which gave him a voice, because when he started a party here, rather than going back to Trinidad, the Democratic League. And I don't know. I hear people to talk all around Bridgetown, But you come through Independence Square, you pass on the Independence Arch, and it makes sense to go across the Joseph Chamberlain Bridge and not the Colonel Wickham Bridge. And this is how we are thinking in this country. And people who want to know how we respect our icons, how we understand our history. we don't seem to want to let go of the colonial coattails. Look, people, that just married in, the young lady just married into the family, the royal family, and she and her husband is willing to move away from it. So I don't understand what is happening in Barbados, that we must look at these things, and we must look the other way. Name the Freedom Park after Clement Paine, not Golden Square Freedom Park. You have a nice day, okay?
All right, and I would suggest that you would be one of the persons who go out there and share some of your ideas with the Prime Minister at this ideas forum they're supposed to be taking part across the island. The first one begins on tonight, so you can do that. Take another call. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
Good morning, Mr. Williams. How are you?
Pretty well today. I need to discuss three quick things with you.
Mm-hmm.
And coming off the last caller, we spent a lot of time trying to educate Barbadians on Bridgetown. Mr. Wiggins, good morning to you. The bridge, the old bridge, first, we talk a lot. Mr. Price, I give you a part of the fourth assignment, right? You're at the meeting in Barbados, sir?
Mark, make your point.
The point I'm asking is that I give you an assignment.
Mark, I work on contract. Any assignment you're trying to give me?
Okay, well, let me make it easier for you.
Because I work on contract only.
Let me make it easier. I don't see your picture. The source matters, so I don't believe you.
But I am not employed at the Nation. I am not employed right. at that's the Nation as an employee. Right? I work on contract. Too.
I am concerned, Mr. Price, in the true sense that between Jemmett's Lane and the area of Pirates Cove, there is a need for an established knowledge of the owners of the land seaside. The reason for that is that we know for a fact there has been an acquisition for an area of land on Bay Street. We also know that beyond that, there is what we call a restaurant. And we know beyond that, there are private homes, the Lobster House, Selby House, Chiropractor's House, and we go on up. I am concerned that the east of the project, there needs to be a footprint of who are the owners of those properties on the eastern end of the development. And there's also a need for a footprint of the owners of the property, which is Pirates Cove, on the western end of the, because I would not want to hear about another acquisition at this time. We need to know who are the owners. Inside of that, I also have a very strong belief, Mr. Price, that on the other side, which is the St. John Ambulance property, which I understand would become part of the Hyatt establishment in terms of car park. And on the other side, which is supposed to be the Coles building, I've been told that that Coles building has now fallen within the jurisdiction of the owners or the developers of the Hyatt. Now, we need to know these things. We need to know at least how these properties are moving, who they're moving to, and based on that, then we can feel a lot more comfortable in our exercise. Now, a lot has been said about the NAS building. My memory tells me it was not built for the NAS. It was built as a government saving bank. National Bank. The first location was the National Bank was there. And my memory all opened by the Queen. My memory also tells me that as far as the bridge was concerned that Mr. Wiggins was talking about, at one time they tried to name that the Martin Luther King Bridge, which it did not stay. But I'm saying these things to say this, right? In the area of Bay Street, in the area of Bourbon Street, in the area of Fairchild Street, there is a tremendous amount of Barbadian history that is inside of that area. A lot of history, including the Bethel Church, including what we consider to be the left-hand side coming down on Bay Street, that there's shops there. I think we need, if we're going to develop the situation, we need to know a little bit more insight of what is taking place there. Whether these lands are owned by the Ministry of Housing and Lands, whether these lands are private owned, or as far as I'm concerned, somewhere along the line, the land registry will be able to tell who is investigating the owners of the land, or the same Ministry of Housing and Lands. There's a reason for it. Barbadians are becoming very conscious and querying certain events that are taking place. And I said, if you read today's paper, page 15, Innes should not be tried under local law. And then under that is AG Integrity Bill in-house. A coincidence. Now, you and I know that the Integrity Bill has not been passed. You and I know that the Integrity Bill, as far as you and I are concerned, was negotiated long ago, but was set aside by a former government and was never implemented. Fortunate this government has finally time to implement. So there's no way that anybody of the former government could be found guilty under the act, because the act has not been established. And I say that to say this, Mr. Price, that as far as we're concerned, we have not even arrived at the point of investigators or in area of whistleblowers. So I don't see how one person could talk about Innes would not be tried under the local law, because all investigators, we have not established true investigators in terms of serious integrity legislation. And if we're supposed to have integrity legislation, then we have to also have to have protection as far as the whistleblowers are concerned. So I don't think that what I'm reading here in today's paper justifies that the laws of Barbados are involved in this. The laws of Barbados are not involved in this. The laws of the United States are involved in the exercise as far as the person is concerned. So much for that. I also want to stress on the fact that in Sunday's paper, there's an area of land, East Coast Road, written by Maria Bradshaw. I believe, sir, that there is a need for further investigation as to find out exactly what we've been told in that article as against what it might not be in relation to the owners of that land and in relation to the purpose of that land, because my memory goes back, as I said before, my memory goes back to tell me that from Pico Tenerife all the way across, it was said that that would become a park and that no development was supposed to be placed in that area. Surprising. I don't see how the Town Country Planning could give permission for development in that area when it was said that the land is slippers land coming from Cambridge all the way down to the East Coast Road. So something has got to be queried. Right. What?
No, I'm intervening here in this one. First of all, the article never said that a development was taking place. The article only said that the land was being sold. That's the first point. The second point...
For development, Mr. Price. For development, Mr.
Well, the land is being sold, okay? Yeah. That the person who's selling the land says whatever it's for, it's a different matter, but the land is being sold. That was the shock of the whole thing. Because the premise, why the article was relevant in the first place was because your understanding was our understanding that land, all of that land, was supposed to be held in trust, and no building of any sort, no anything should be done down there. So therefore, for it now to be sold and to go into private hands suggests something is afoot. And that is why it was such a quote-unquote shocking development. Okay?
Okay.
So the understanding of the article, the whole basis of the article is that our understanding, and Carlisle Graves Justice Carlisle Graves was trying to make that point, as well as somebody else that was quoted in the article, because I can vaguely remember everything in it. But the whole point is that it was based on the premise that no development of any sort should be going down that side.
There are three areas, Mr. Price, if you go back into the article of the East Coast.
I don't have it in front of me.
Right. There are three areas. The area which was used for the promotion of
Party Monarch.
But left of that in a southern direction, mm-hmm. and north of that in a mm-hmm. northern direction. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in between there, the land that we are talking about and the land that I'm familiar with is the land that stretched from Cambridge all the way down to where the festival stage used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But surprisingly, I'm reading on Sunday's paper that the left and the right of this area is supposed to be sold and a price given for development. For development. So I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm saying that we have been made to believe, that's why I believe that there should be a recap of that article based on...
And I'm saying to you, Mark, because you don't seem to get what I'm saying. Dennis, you want to come in? Come in.
Because I was actually reading the article. It does not say for development. It is being sold. As a matter of fact, the article points out that for there to be any development, it has to be approved by the Town Planning Department. So therefore, the question was, why was the National Trust selling the land and whether they had the authority to sell the land? Because if the land cannot be developed, whoever is buying it would then have to apply, get a change of use, and then National Trust, or sorry, the town planning would have, or the minister responsible for town planning would have to approve whatever development the person wants to do. But the article basically said that there was no development, and it's something that is subject to approval. I had to check the story to make sure, just to back up what you were saying, Sankar.
And then there's a for sale sign which is placed on a location.
A piece of land, yes. But again, the article states that for anything to be done, it has to have town planning permission, because there is no permission at the moment to do any development along either the land side or the coastal side of that particular area.
I don't know if you're aware, Mr. Johnson and Mr. Price, that at one time that area of land, soon after it was closed off from having an event there, was set aside to be sold to businessmen in Barbados for what was known as a development for, at that time it was said to be vacation houses, and a special type of vacation house was supposed to be built there, and the earmark persons who were supposed to be the people to purchase these houses, which were supposed to be greenheart houses coming in, are from Guyana, were a group of black wealthy businessmen.
Mm-hmm. I'm well aware of that. That's why because I knew one of them well, and I think you know that person well too.
But
Mark, that is why I'm saying to you that my understanding, because we're talking about cross purposes, you're really listening. That's what I'm saying to you. That is what made the whole thing a shock, because this land was not supposed to be done for anything. Because when that development came up, as you would want to remind the public, shortly after the whole thing was shut down.
That's right.
So therefore, now, 15, 20 years later, you are having land being sold, and one of the people selling the land is the National Trust? Come on! I mean, that is why the article was so important.
I agree with you. So the
facts of the article, and Dennis had that, that's why Dennis, because he has the paper up there. I don't have it down here in the studio. So the whole thing is the thrust of the article is dealing with what you're concerned about.
Well, I hope, and I pray that somewhere along the line there'll be some clarification. But I was watching Obama making a speech at the Mandela, this event to celebrate Mandela's 100th anniversary. And what I caught was when he said that corruption, he spoke on corruption, made them corrupt. So I think we have got, if we bring this integrity legislation into place, we also have to look outside of those persons who we point our fingers at and find those persons who are guilty of really of the cause of corruption. Which, yeah, I think is extremely important. But
agreed.
As far as the development of Bridgetown is concerned, I am not opposed to development, Mr. Price, but I believe that there is too much history lying in the borders that I have just mentioned, and that a footprint of that area be established so that we will know our history as far as the Freedom Park is concerned. And that is extremely important because, take for example, a lot of people are not familiar that there's several alleys on Bay Street that have been shut down. Several alleys on Bay Street that don't exist. But still I see coming up in the presentation of the Hyatt Ziva is one of the alleys which will become what can be considered as a pedestrian use for the purpose of the hotel. So how these things are happening, why we are not familiar, why we are not told, for example, I believe demonstrating, we come all the way down, of those areas that has been shut down, of those areas that are part of the history of Barbados, and nobody seems to want to discuss it. Nobody seems to be able to tell us, well, look, X, Y, Z. So all I'm asking for when I ask the first question, that there be an ownership walk from Gemmets Lane all the way down to Prescove. In terms of the owners of the land, I know who some of the owners of the land because they investigated it. I know that, to be honest with you.
Well, maybe one day that you will bring it to us, but we got to run.
I can't.